Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Then he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to Jesus, "The owner will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce of the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the dominion of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of it. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because the people regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
A reading from the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. For faith does not justify or save because it is a good work in itself, but only because it accepts the promised mercy.
Thank you, David. We're going to have an extra reading for the next few Sundays leading up to the celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We chose this one because it is emblematic, I think, of all of Luther's stuff, but it's particularly important for today as well. Had a great experience this morning to start off with my confirmation class, which I lift up to you as just such a strong accumulation of children who are very thoughtful. A couple of lines that we were just thinking about the experiences of the world these past days. I kind of ask them if they want to talk about some of these things, and they say, "Well, the entire race is a cycle of violence." I want you to remember that because that's going to be a fundamental theme of the sermon today. And the second theme that they raised was, as long as we live, there will be suffering. This is another important theme, particularly that St. Paul spoke about and asked us to think about, and what it might mean for us to share in Jesus' suffering. So I had asked them, should we actually even think about the 58 killed in Las Vegas and the over 500 more injured in such a violent way that it will probably impact their lives throughout? And don't we all remain baffled as to the motive? For the shooter appears not to have committed this deadly violence on behalf of any political or religious group, nor did his aim appear to single out any particular type of person by race or gender. But this was a statement against humanity. This was an act against life itself. To use Paul's word today, this person had zeal, real fervor for one thing, destroying life. Violence was his sacred act, guns his sacrament. In direct opposition to what is such a great image, I think, of care and watchfulness, and that is the watchtower, which Evelyn mentioned in her reading, and which Jesus also mentions. How about that, Evelyn? You and Jesus, huh? Pretty good?
Yeah.
It's such an image of watchfulness and care and tending over the vineyard, which is always an image of Israel, or whatever country we might belong to. But such a perverted image. The gunman, I'm thinking, watched over people 34 stories high, obviously not in care, but with the single goal of death. So we are baffled, and that is disturbing to us. But the real terror is, if we think about it, if we dwell with this long enough, deep down, we see. We wish we did not. And perhaps we choose to be blind. Paul sees. He describes such matters in his letter, a letter that he writes to the church at Philippi. What Paul saw in himself was a trajectory that moved toward the kind of violence experienced in Las Vegas. It is a violence based upon excluding and marginalizing others without killing them, if that could be maintained. It is a violence that on one hand boasts of a superior, of an exalted, of an exclusive status. It's what Paul was all about. In his letter, he lists all his elite attributes. Now, these would seem to suffice for identity, but it always seems to be the case that's never enough. For on the other hand, it culminates into what he calls a zeal for persecution. It strikes me that this is similar to the language we use so much in our national conversation. There is this zeal to be, or language that lifts us up as a superior group or a calling, whether it's race or religion. But there always seems to be a necessity for violence to uphold it. So Paul was a persecutor when he was Saul, one who practices violence against others in order to justify and maintain an exclusive status and identity. The life, however, in which he once boasted, violence becomes sacred, and he is justified by its practice. The status of which he boasts can only be maintained when there are victims, people to subjugate, to exclude, kill if need be. This is the type of society into which we are devolving. Zeal for a pure race, zeal for a certain type of religious nation, zeal for weapons which exceed any kind of normal sense of enjoyment, zeal so deep that individuals themselves become weaponized. These mass killings are eruptions, the naked and unmasked truth of where a large stream of our society is flowing. Jesus' parable today tells the story of such a world. Call it the dominion of violence, a realm that excluded and fell upon and killed those who threatened its identity and reality. A world totally antithetical to God's creation and will for life for all people. Call it the dominion of God. As a persecutor of the church, Paul came to understand in an experience of the crucified and risen Jesus, that he was a persecutor of Jesus, the very one who came to bring life, that his murderous zeal participated in that crucifixion. But now, what he was once willing to kill for, he regards as loss because of the life that is in him through his faith and identification with Jesus. The place in which he now wants to be is in Christ, in relationship with the resurrected Jesus, with the one who brings life. This violent and boastful man was not encountered himself with violence in return, with vengeance, but with an invitation to live in Christ with God, or to receive, as the children sang, and we will sing after this sermon, to receive love and mercy, not vengeance and violence. Elsewhere in his letters, Paul vows to know Jesus and him crucified only, because there on the cross, it is clear that this one from God was so absolutely zealous for life for all of us, that he bore the violence, the sin of all. What St. Paul saw in his encounter with Jesus, what Martin Luther would see and understand 1,500 years later, is that we all are victims and victimizers. We are all sinners and saints. On the cross, Jesus, in his body of life, bears all the violent undermining of life and all the opposition to the Creator God who sent it. By Jesus' resurrection, God affirms that death will not rule in our lives, but that through forgiveness and the promise of life and the calling to give life to others in the name of Jesus and in the name of the one who sent him, in all of this we live. St. Paul experienced this truth deeply in his own soul, deep in his own identity, in himself, if you will. But he worked to make the promise of life through faith a historical movement, a church. Similarly, Jesus stood by individuals always feeding, healing, accepting, insisting upon their value and worth, insisting upon the blessedness of each life. But in doing so, he challenged both the Roman Empire and the religious rulers of that historical moment. The parable that we read today about the vineyard is about the dominion of God, the rule and realm of God, given over to faithful people. We come today, we gather as the Church of Christ with both these realities in our hearts and in our minds. I know of so many who suffer personal tragedy, loss of one sort or another, illness, loss of a loved one, failures, perhaps of your hopes and dreams, of even coming to grips with my own fallenness, as did St. Paul, as did Luther. And while this is going on in our lives so many Sundays today as well, we focus upon the collective presence and reality of the sinful violence of the world, the suffering of many, as my confirmation class understands. War, natural disasters, the violence of prejudice and exclusion. We all want to know, with St. Paul and Luther, Christ and the power of his resurrection. We long for this, we pray for this, we gather together for it. We give thanks that we come to the table to receive it. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection proclaims that he hears this prayer. He knows this longing. In his suffering, he is with us and for us. He suffers with us and because of us, because we too have been zealous for the wrong thing so much. God in Christ Jesus is present with forgiveness, with the promise of life today for you, for all of us together. And we trust that promise is eternal. Trust and faith become sharing in Jesus' suffering, that mysterious understanding that, again, I think our class of confirmands is trying to lead us into. Because suffering is not going to go away. Suffering will be with us. But we share in Jesus' suffering, we share the truth of the cross and the resurrection, because we understand sharing Jesus' suffering turns out to be sharing the suffering of others, gathering with those who are in need, collecting food, helping to heal, helping the homeless, encouraging those who are overwhelmed by systematic oppression, standing with victims of any kind of illness, of hunger, of homelessness, again, with those who are zealously and systematically killed in spirit, are too often in body by inhumane systems of justice. Today, as always, our prayer is answered, and we are called to give life in Jesus' name, for we suffer also with victims in Las Vegas, in Syria, on the streets of St. Louis, in our families, in our hearts, in Christ Jesus, who suffers, who lives, who dies, who rises to bring us new life and sends us forth to be the people of God. Amen.